Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How we feeling, New York? About 2 hours away from Yankees-Royals. About 7 minutes away from the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. One thing I feel very sick about this game now is Derek Jeter, David Ortiz, and A-Rod all picked the Mets to win tonight. I don't like that.
Good for them. A little New York pride.
Yeah, good for them. I do not like that. Anyhow, it's Cinco time, ladies and gentlemen.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless. Connecting everything, everywhere. Yankee baseball tonight on The Fan. A huge Game 3 out in Kansas City. And I'm here to give you the five different ways the Yankees can win a ball game tonight.
Let's hear it.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
I call this one the Tiki Special.
All right, let's hear it.
Clark Schmidt, no-hitter.
Come on.
Prove Booney right, Clark. Go right. Out there.
If he had a 6 or 7 no-hit performance, he's coming out of the game anyway. You'll get a combined no-no, which is okay. I think any Yankee fan would sign for that.
Well, playing it back-to-back. Preserve
the
pen.
Predict that for, Sevy?
No, there was a Yankee game where you picked it. I forget what it was.
It was Cole.
It was Gerrit Cole, I think, after the four-finger performance.
Right. Against Baltimore.
And I told him, and I said, if he pitches a complete game no-hitter, you got to stop calling him four-finger.
Yeah. Yes, which he didn't do, but I think he pitched 2 no-hit innings, and I got excited.
All right, here we go.
Number 4.
An extra inning thriller win, setting up 2 tired bullpens for a game 4.
Yeah, that'd be something. You know why? Because I'm really excited to see a real extra inning game and not one of those Fugazi ones.
Who would have the advantage?
I think the Yankees' pen would have the advantage. I think tomorrow it would come down to you trust Cole's length over Waka's.
Yeah. Mm.
So set it up. Here we go.
Number 3.
Tonight could be the Jazz Chisholm game. A homer, another big hit, while getting booed all night long if they're calling the Royals lucky.
By the way, into that role, man.
Because of what Evan just said, he wants to be that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I said this the other day. Like, Jesse Winker and Jazz Chisholm, obviously Jazz is like 10 times more talented, but they've got a little similarities in that. I think they got a flair for the dramatic.
Hate me if you want to.
Yeah. I see a lot of similarities between the two of them, with obviously Jazz just being a lot better. No offense to Jesse. It's just true.
All right, here we go.
Number 2.
The dogs game. The Yankees get to the bullpen by the 5th inning, get runs late by all the dogs, including Verdugo.
Well, look, Alex Verdugo was the hero of game 1. Why not the hero of game 3?
And last but not least.
Number 1.
Aaron Judge becomes Pete Alonso. Hits a big home run tonight, starting a true Yankee magical October.
So I'll make you this prediction about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge does not have good career numbers against Seth Lugo. He's 0 for 8 with, I think, about 3 or 4 strikeouts. But nevertheless, he's 0 for 8. Not a huge sample size, but that's what he is. I believe. You ready? A little prediction time?
All right.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Judge is hitting a first inning home run off Seth Lugo.
Sign me up.
Before Clark Schmidt ever takes the mound, he's handed a lead. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a solo job or a guy on base job. I'm not positive, but I can see it right now. Aaron Judge getting some of the Yankee fans, including you, off of his back by going solo.
The reason it needs to happen is because you'll stop worrying about Aaron Judge not being a postseason player as soon as he hits a home run. Just hit one.
And as we've known with Aaron Judge, these things tend to come in bunches.
Right.
So once he hits one, I think he awakens and you could have a big, big run coming.
There you go.
If he hits a first inning homer, they're not losing a game.
Okay.
By the way, when's your plan to watch the Yankees tonight? Going to do it on DVR from spoilers?
So my attitude with that is I'm going to try to not look at the left field scoreboard. It's not that difficult because it's kind of out of the way.
Right.
And so my hope is I'll be at the Met game. I'll do the Rico. And if I could get home and have no idea what happened in the Yankee game, that's the ultimate victory. And I'm going to score it. Like, I score every Yankee game. I told you, I haven't missed a Yankee playoff game score-wise since 2003, I think it is.
I love it. What time Rangers Penguins tonight? 1 a.m.?
What? Oh, they're playing tonight?
It's opening night. Have a little respect.
It's opening night?
Opening night for the Blue Shirts.
Oh, my God.
Which New York Ranger fan?
When did the Liberty play the Lynx?
Thursday night, tomorrow night. Game 1 of the WNBA Finals.
I'm going to be locked in on that one.
I am, too. This is an exciting time.
When do the Islanders open up against the Utah Hockey Club?
Tomorrow night.
Okay. All right, thanks, Sean. I appreciate it.
No problem. Dialed in. He's got all the answers.
Sean showed up in a Ranger jersey. Like, he's fully enthralled with the Ranger season starting, which I completely respect. I'm not going to lie to you. Last night, late at night, I was watching highlights of the L.A. Clipper-Brooklyn Net preseason game. I was breaking down the tape.
Are you serious?
I got to check in on my boys. I got to see what's going on.
Did Ben Simmons play at all?
He did.
And?
Do you really want me to give you a review?
The Nets still in the league?
Is anybody literally looking for a review?
I'm just slightly curious.
No, I'm not giving you. I will not buy into that.
You can't hoot with the Owls in May.
I'm just trying to get them to be distracted from the Mets game that's about to start.
Yeah, no, but talking about Ben Simmons ain't going to do it. But there's a guy on hold who has an urgent request for me, so let's address this. Jonathan in Lindenhurst, what can I do for you, Jonathan?
Hey, thank you for taking the call so quickly. So I'm in a bit of a predicament right now as a lifelong Met fan born in 1987. Nothing but suffering and pain, but we got a little enjoyment. This team feels different. So my mother-in-law came back from her house down south for about a week and a half. She was in last week on Thursday, and I had to miss the first seven innings of the Met game to go out to dinner. Got home to watch the eighth inning magic, watch the Mets win it. All is great. So she's leaving tomorrow morning, and she decides that she wants to do another dinner tonight right in the middle of the Met game. Do I go and hope to get back before the eighth inning for more of that magic, or do I stay home and watch the game?
Stay home and watch the game. She's got to understand. Yeah. I mean, come on. You've done enough. Like, literally, you already went out and did it. You've done enough. Enough of this.
But I might be the key to the Mets winning, because they didn't do anything until I got home from that dinner.
Yeah.
And as soon as I did... No, keeps blasting off, and the Mets go on.
I totally understand the whole, like, I don't want to be a bad luck charm. I want to be a good luck charm. I'm facing the same dilemma because I'm heading to the Met game after the show is over, and I'm getting a lot of, well, if they're winning, don't jinx them. I think you just got to relax and watch your baseball team. These are very, very special moments. These are very, very special games. And I think that it's very important that you get to watch it. And you tell, who is it, the mother-in-law? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
You tell your mother-in-law, look, you can eat whenever the hell you want. It's not a big deal. Strike one, and we're underway at City Field.
Oh, God, Evan.
What? I'm calm. You know what?
I'd rather game-watching right now.
I'd rather have the mother-in-law that asked to have dinner every night than sit with Evan and watch this.
Look, we had this Monday for the watch party.
I'm not doing a watch party. I just was reacting to strike one. I was very excited.
Meanwhile, you're just staring at the team.
I'm listening to everything you say. Tell me something right now. I bet you I hear it. Go ahead. Talk to me.
Those socks are red.
Whose socks are red? I'm a baby.
That's what I'm talking about.
Have you seen my socks, by the way?
I'm not.
I'm wearing orange Met socks.
You are.
Isn't that pretty cool?
You're crazy.
Yeah, Quintana's ahead 1-2. All right, let's put this guy. You know what's so weird about Kyle Schwarber?
What?
He's like a fat, skinny guy. It's really weird to me. Like, he's got that face where he's a fat guy, but he's not a fat
guy.
He's
skinny fat.
It's called fit fat. But, it's called fit fat.
I don't know why that exists,
I have plenty of fit fat friends.
Fit fat?
Thanks,
yes. Well, you've got this look like you're a fat guy, but you're actually in really good shape. Kyle Schwarber's not fat, but he looks fat.
For instance, I trust Sean's athleticism. Like, Sean, I need you to go run down there and do something. I think he could run down and do something.
Evan has seen me run.
Yeah. He might not look pretty, but you would do it.
He's faster than you would believe.
It's called fit fat.
Okay. Just an observation. Anyhow, I'm not distracted by the game. Kendrick's in Suffern. How you doing, Kendrick?
What up, Kendrick?
Hey, boys. Evan, I tried to call in yesterday, couldn't get through. I had some stuff going on, but as a Met, Jet, and as you alluded to just before, Net fan, watching preseason, even when we win, we lose. Yesterday, I was so pumped up.
Struck out Kyle Schwarber, bitches! That's how we start the game! I'm sorry, Kendrick, go ahead.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're all good, man. You're all good. I'm watching it here.
Kendrick,
too,
we're about to kick him out of the studio.
No,
like, seriously.
No, I'm working hard.
Go ahead.
No, but I was just going to say, even when we win, we lose, and I want to touch upon the Mets and then on the Jets. Really,
of course.
Quickly. As for the Mets, last week we called. Evan, you were so pumped up for your boy Pete Alonso. He had the attitude adjustment game like we talked about. I need that excitement and energy that you have for one of the Mets, for all of the Mets. They will come through tonight. I need you to stay positive.
Yeah.
I need you that energy to pump up like you're talking about P. compete, not just...
Right, well, Kendrick, now he's in, like, nervous energy Evan mode. Now it's not, I'm not negative, positive, I'm anxious.
Well, you know what it was?
I could feel it.
Yeah, I'm a little anxious, he's right. Kendrick, I'm not a blind Pete Alonso supporter, I just thought, like, his career with the Mets was on the line, literally. And I think
100%.
And I think that's different than, hey, are they going to win a game tonight? Like, Pete Alonso's home run, and I hope history remembers this, that home run he hit not just won the Mets a series, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He saved his Met career. He was done.
Yeah, and you remember where you were. I was on a plane.
1,000%. It was like an I quit match for Pete Alonso. And he came through victorious.
That's a great example, yes.
And so I want to turn my attention to someone who I am not a blind loyalist to, but I have pulled over the past couple of seasons for Robert Saleh and supporting him. And Tiki, I want to ask you something.
Go ahead.
As a former player and just a football mind on the show here.
All right.
You know, my whole thing is...
Hold on real quick, Kendrick. Loogie, can you turn off Evan's mic so when this reaction comes from whatever's happened in the Met game, we don't interrupt my conversation with Kendrick?
I didn't do anything.
All right, turn his mic off. Thank you.
I didn't do anything.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
I appreciate that, Tiki. Tiki, my whole thing with Saleh...
Yeah,
is that he was taking all slings and arrows for everything that went wrong. And as the head coach, I understand. But there's someone here, you know, Tommy says that Dable has this contract that he doesn't have to worry about. His feet are up on the table. What about Joe Douglas here? Because I'm just going to call out a few things here.
Yeah.
You know, penalties against the Jets can't be handled on the field because Saleh would get a 15-yard penalty. And in the NBA and the MLB, managers can kind of handle it by either saying stuff after the game and just addressing the flags that were terrible. This Minnesota game, Tiki,
the
penalty on DJ Reed cost Robert Saleh his career, literally, like right for the moment, because they would have won that game if not for that touchdown.
No, you're probably right. It's hard in the NFL because there's no way to argue. You know what I mean? The only thing you can do is have like a later in the game or later in that series conversation with the side judge who's not even responsible for the call half the time. You know what I mean? There's no impact you can have.
So when you look at Saleh's career, and again, he has to own those penalties and everything like that, but you look at last year with Kansas City, this year with Minnesota, those are two winnable games if not for the officials. One more thing with Douglas, though. You know, Robert Saleh, almost every player that walked into that locker room has had career years and peaked with him as their coach. I know the results weren't there, and this is what gets me. We finally had a guy who was turning the culture around and the narrative of like who we were on the field. Obviously, he didn't change with the results, but who is Joe Douglas? Who is Joe Douglas brought in that wasn't a failure? He brought in Dalvin Cook. He brings in Alan Lazard. He brings in Aaron Rodgers.
Drafted Zach Wilson. I mean, there's a whole list of them that you can go through, Kendrick. And there's two things that you're talking about here. One is the Robert Saleh era and why it's prematurely, at least in some people's minds, it's right on time. But you know what I mean? It didn't get through this fourth season. The reason is it's his fourth season. And you haven't seen the positivity yet. You haven't seen the winning yet. And the challenge with the Joe Douglas, why isn't he gone conversation, is that, yes, he's missed on some picks. Nobody is 100%. But he's also built a hell of a roster. And so when the roster's as good as it is, it's hard to say you're not that guy. And I think there's also something at play behind the scenes with Woody wanting to be heavily involved. And Joe Douglas the one that's helping, like, mitigate Woody's more involvement in the day-to-day football stuff. So Joe Douglas is serving a role, even if we're not noticing it.
So believe it or not, Jose Quintana pitched a 1-2-3 and he struck out Bryce Harper.
You just controlled yourself.
I heard everything Kendrick said. Can I now comment on that?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Kendrick, I love you, bro. You literally, here's what you did as I was dying under my chair as Quintana pitched a 1-2-3 inning against the Phillies.
Yes, got you Bryce Harper to swing and a pitch in the dirt.
Yeah. You basically said there were some bad calls that cost the Jets the game. The officials cost Robert Saleh his career. You can say that about every team and every coach. The NFL is a tough sport to win games in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to win games. And there's usually a play here and there that you can circle and say, well, if that goes that way, we win, we lose. The Giants 2 years ago had a great year. They made the playoffs. Like, every game was a one-score game.
No, you're right.
You could have done the same thing.
And by the way, it's been the same way, except for the Minnesota game, it's been the same way this year.
Right.
They're just winning those one-score games as opposed to losing those one-score games.
Okay, well, if you lose enough games, you can give me all the different reasons on why. That's not good enough. So I'm sorry I don't buy that crap anymore.
I think the biggest thing for the Jets, it's the expectation. The Giants have yet to have preseason expectation team. They don't have that yet. Can they earn it? Sure. But it's going to take, I think, a lot of success this year and maybe even some more improvements in the offseason after this year. Whereas the Jets came into this year, all anybody wanted to talk about was the Super Bowl.
They have very high expectations.
Super high expectations. And then you start 2-3. It's why 2-3 can feel different, even though the circumstances aren't dissimilar.
You're right. I got a breathing problem. Like that first inning, it was a 1-2-3 inning, like nothing.
When you hold your breath for 10 minutes,
yeah, dude,
it tends to like hurt your lungs.
And you only have 8.5 innings to get there now, man.
Dude, I know. Baseball is just killing me. Like, I don't think I'm going to make it. Anyhow, Connor and
you're not, because we're going to kick you out of here in a second.
You would never do that. Connor in Pompton Plains. What's up, Connor?
What's up, Connor?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Evan. Are you scoring the game while on the radio?
Yeah, that's true. That's correct, yes.
Okay, what happens when you get off the radio later on in the day? Are you going to score on the train home or something like
that's
that?
That's a great question. So I plan on going to Citi Field once the show is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan on either, you know, taking an Uber, though the traffic looks really bad, or taking the train. Problem with the train is I want to be able to watch the game. Like, I don't want to pause it.
Watch the game on the train.
Yeah, but the reception sucks. Like, it's not good.
Well, not the subway. Just take the train.
I know, but even the LIRR, the Wi-Fi is terrible. Don't you take it every day, Sean?
Yeah, I have 5G on my phone, and I never get a buffer zone.
Don't
at
you
all.
Have 5G?
I do. I'm looking at 5G right now.
How do you think I'm watching the first two innings of the Yankees on my way home?
Listen, that's your call. It's not a problem. Something I'm very used to. But yeah, and by the way, I do a great job scoring while on the air.
I'm a loser.
I wasn't sure I'd be able to do it, but we did it on last Monday during the watch party, and my scorecard was meticulous. Mm. And last night did the same thing. I didn't go to the game. I went to our own watch party right here at the WFAN studios, and my scorecard was beautiful. Like right now, I'm up to date. 0-2 on Francisco Lindor. Look, I got the 2 strikes on Lindor.
Uh-huh.
I haven't filled out the defensive lineup. Sometimes I'm sloppy and I do it later, so maybe later in the game I'll fill it out in between innings. But yeah, I'm completely up to date. It's 0-2 now, 1-2 on Francisco Lindor. I'm good to go.
Stop doing
now, Evan, that was not play-by-play.
Well, Evan, something I'm pondering. Monday we're going to do a great show at the Dream Bar, an American Dream ahead of the Jets and Bills. Anybody going to the Jet game should come on out.
Yeah, of course. I can't wait for that. That's the American Dream, and it's the Dream Bar.
If the Mets are in the NLCS, you never know. There could be a 5 p.m. Mets NLCS
game.
Very
much on the table.
Very much on
the
table.
Yeah.
I say this to say we're going to be at Dream Bar. Everybody hanging out.
Yeah.
Beers, TVs, all of that.
You have a question you want to ask?
They could position us in a way where we're not directly facing a TV.
Great question.
How are you going to score the game?
That's a great question. Luckily, I have a tablet. Lindor struck out, by the way. This is my worry about Ranger Suarez. Guy's nasty in a big spot. Anyhow, I would just turn my tablet on and have the game on. But listen, I just proved it with that conversation with Kendrick and Tiki about Robert Saleh and coaching. Mm. Dude, I'm a multitasker.
Who else was I talking about?
Who else were you talking about?
Yeah.
There you
go.
You were talking about Robert Saleh.
No. For a second, I was talking about Robert Saleh.
But you talked about somebody else?
Yes,
you talked
I did.
About, well, hold on. You talked about Ben McAdoo.
I did not talk
hold
about
that now. Ben I'm not done yet. I'm still thinking. You talked about Sean Payton.
No, I did not talk about Sean Payton. Even though I have the Denver Broncos this weekend, and I will be talking to Sean Payton.
See, he didn't talk about Sean Payton. Yeah. I'm going to say he talked about Brian Daboll.
No, it's close, but not quite.
Really?
No.
You
Joe Douglas. I was talking about Joe Douglas.
Oh, I was going to say, you confess that you love Tom Coughlin. He's my favorite.
Tom Coughlin's bobblehead sits with me every day.
I've noticed that. See, Tiki loves Tom Coughlin. He's touching his little head.
He made me great.
That's right. Christian's in Manhattan. What do you want, Christian?
Hello.
What's up? How are you, sir?
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Tazza Tommy.
Oh, well, he's right there.
I acknowledge him as my tribal chief as well as Sean Maniah. However, I apologize. I know you talked about this a while ago. I was trying to get on. But
that's okay.
As much as it would be awesome as a wrestling fan for him to use Roman Reigns' theme, he can't. He's got to stick with his original. Do you know why he uses just the two of us?
Why is that?
On the day he signed with the Mets,
his brother passed away. You're right. And that's the reason he picked that number.
Of his jersey.
Yes.
Yep, that was his age.
And by the way, not only that, which is such a heartbreaking story to hear about. So for those that don't know, and he said it, so I apologize if I talked over him. Sean Mania's brother passed away, a battle of cancer, the day that he signed with the New York Mets. Hold on 1 second. Double off the wall! Get the second Vientos! Safe! One out double, Mark Vientos! Let's go! Go! Anyhow, I was telling a very emotional story.
Jeez.
Sean Mania's brother passed away at the age of 59 the day he signed, and that's why he wears 59.
Oh,
so that's interesting. An incredible story, sad story. Last night, after he walked off the mound, he was pointing to the sky.
Yeah.
So he was asked, hey, what were you doing? And he said he found out, I guess right before the game, that his aunt had passed away.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and Sean was thinking of her and obviously pointing to the heavens. And so, look, man, you guys, and I'm including you in this, Tiki, you have a very tough job. You're a professional athlete.
Right.
What we do around here is nothing compared to that. If I had a tragedy in my family, it'd be very tough to come to work. I'll be honest with you. And I think we'd all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How you could perform at the highest level the way he did and the way many others have done is something that athletes pull off that I'm like, that's amazing. Because I wouldn't be able to talk about sports.
I think it's just instinct that takes over. And so the athletic ability it's naturally, it's God-given, and then it's honed and it's perfected. And once you get into a moment, you kind of stop thinking. And so I think for Sean Mania, that's likely what he went through, experienced. And I don't know the circumstances of his aunt's passing, whether it was expected or whether it was sudden, what his relationship was with her, but I would think, because I never had this situation where I had to play after a tragedy, but knowing guys who have, you just stop thinking and you just go perform. And sometimes it actually heightens your awareness.
Right. Well, Sean Mania was able to do that. He was utterly brilliant last night after learning that. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Guys, if you heat your home with oil, we have this message for you. Low-priced home heating oil is now available to all FAN listeners at a fixed price that can save you hundreds of dollars a year on your home heating bill. If you think you're paying too much to heat your home, dial them up right now, 866-OIL-DEAL. Ball four, get to first base.
Oh, my God.
One out for Pete Alonso. The Home Heating Oil Service Center is staffed 24-7, and mechanics are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 866-OIL-DEAL. Why should you ever be cold again? It makes no sense. 866-OIL-DEAL. Like, dude, they're always available. 24-hour mechanics, a low flat rate. 866-OIL-DEAL, 866-OIL-DEAL. We're set up now, Teak. We got runners on first and second.
Evan, one out. Be quiet.
Pete Alonso is coming up.
I have a read I have to do. Hey, guys, are you ready to pop the big question?
Yes.
Discover why five generations have purchased their diamonds from H.L. Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Since 1910, the Gross family has been the place Long Island gets engaged and where you'll find the latest styles and rings and a huge selection of GIA-certified diamonds. Save yourself all the hassle. Go to H.L. Gross, where you'll get the guaranteed best price as well.
That's
as the
low.
Best as it can. Evan! Evan! Guaranteed best prices and picking out the perfect ring. H.L. Gross Jewelers, Long Island's premier bridal ring store at 840 Franklin Avenue in Garden City, or hlgross.com. Evan, you know what?
What?
Get the hell out of here.
Well, I can't.
Get your stuff, and I'm going to punch you.
Ooh.
If you get your stuff and get the hell out of this studio and go to the Mets game right now.
Oh, Jesus.
Get in the Uber or the train or whatever it is the heck you're getting out to Citi Field and leave. I cannot handle this for another 30 minutes or an hour, actually, because we still have left in our show. Get your bag and get out. Now,
you
want me to talk? Yes, I'm being dead serious.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Get out.
Wrap your headphones up.
Put your mic condom on the side over there and get out of here.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's only because you told me.
Leave.
All right, come on, Pete.
Leave.
Hit that ball.
Leave.
Okay.
Leave.
All right.
I'm leaving. Stop looking. Leave.
Okay.
Leave.
Okay.
Leave. And Lugie, you take your ass with him too.
Oh, thank you, Tiki. Appreciate that.
Wow. Sean and I will finish the rest of Evan and Tiki here on WFAN.
The Yankees do play tonight, Tiki.
And the Yankees do play.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.